The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Health checks from blood pressure to glucose and your BMI. At All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
We just got an email into ray@rte.ie, which will lead us nicely into our next guest. Dear Ray, I heard you saying you'd be chatting about panic buying, so I thought I'd let you know what happened this morning. I went to both supermarkets in the town closest to me. In the first supermarket, there were three tills operating constantly, which is unusual. There would usually be one open and another one opens ad hoc as per demand. There were queues of two shoppers and all with full trolleys at each till. The checkout lady said at 1 o'clock that it had been the busiest morning in a long time. I was there to get a few essentials, but I literally couldn't help myself and bought extra few bits while I was tut-tutting at others panic buying. It's very different when the virus is literally on your doorstep. So this person must be over somewhere in the west of Ireland. There was a good stock of nearly all items, but I noticed that water, toilet roll and cleaning products were low. There were no wipes left, antibacterial wipes. In the other supermarket, I didn't check the stock of items other than cleaning wipes. There was only one brand left and it was €3 for 10. There was hand gel available for customers to use at the tills and a sign asking us to use it. The cashier here told me the shop had been very busy since opening this morning, again with trolleys full of shopping. Which leads us nicely on to Professor Clifford Stott, who's an expert in collective psychology. He's from the Faculty of Natural Sciences at Keele University in Staffordshire. Good afternoon, Clifford.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for taking our call today. So how do you explain, as a psychologist, why people panic buy in these situations?
Well, I hope you can hear me okay, because the line's a little bit dodgy. But I think the big problem resides around the use of the term panic.
Okay.
Panic kind of gives us a picture of people freaking out, you know, the idea of being irrational and emotional rather than conscious and deliberate. And that's the problem, really, is that what we're looking at here is people beginning to think about the possibilities that there may be a loss of supply, and they are thinking rationally, well, if I can't get these things in the future, I better get them now. And what happens is it creates unnecessary demand, but it's that unnecessary demand that causes the problem, not panic.
Aha. So I suppose it's the only word phrase we have to describe what might happen, though, isn't it?
Well, it's certainly a very dominant word that we hear a lot in circumstances like this. If there's, for example, you recall in the past there have been issues over tanker drivers going on strike. And then we hear the expression, you know, people are panic buying petrol. And again, it's problematic to argue that this is being driven by fear. It's being driven by the rational understanding that if you can't get petrol, you can't travel, you can't go to work. So you've got to get the petrol. And it's that problem that causes the excessive demand. And unfortunately, we live in an economy of supply and demand, where there is kind of, we predict how much demand there's going to be, and we supply to that predicted demand. So when we get these spikes in demand, that creates a deficit that feeds the amplification. So one of the problems we've got, I would argue, particularly in situations like this, is the very use of the word panic is problematic.
Okay.
Because it creates the problem. People think, oh, well, if other people are panic buying, I better go out and buy as well, so I won't be able to get these things. So we need to, in a sense, calm the situation, and using panic is not effective for that.
Okay. Surely if we could reassure people that there won't be a shortage of supply, that would work, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely it would. And that's the real responsibility that major media outlets have now. We need to move away from promoting the idea that panic is the natural response here. It's not the natural response. Actually, in mass emergencies and situations of crisis, altruism and working together is the natural public response. We need to harness that and recognize that if we harness it, we can manage supply and demand in effective ways that don't create the problems that we're trying to avoid.
So you used the word altruism there. So that if I go down to my local supermarket and stockpile toilet paper, for example, it means that somebody else won't be able to buy toilet paper down the line.
Absolutely, and that's the issue, really. If we look at it in that way, what we see is that in these circumstances, people start to act in very selfish ways. They think, oh, well, this is all about me. And what we need to be doing is promoting a sense of us. We need to help people to recognize they're part of a community and that we need to work together as a community to respond to emergency situations. And that's the message that we should be promoting.
But you, as a psychologist, understand the human condition better than most of us. Are we not all basically selfish? Is it not self-preservation at the end of the day?
No, because in a sense we have different senses of what it means to be who we are. That at some level, yes, we've got a sense of self that's very idiosyncratic and about our individuality, but we also define ourselves in terms of collective identities or social identities, like being Irish or so on. These things are important about who we are as individuals, but they're shared with other people who are part of our community. And that's really, again, the thing that we need to emphasize. We need to promote collective psychology. We need to promote a sense of community to make ourselves resilient in the context of emergencies.
And Clifford, is that more difficult now than ever before? Because we have all of these sources of information. Some of it is correct and some of it is not. So trust is a big issue with people because they don't know who to trust,
Absolutely.
What information to trust.
That's right. Well, we need to trust each other for a start. We need to trust that other people are not going to be selfish, and we need to trust the idea that they're not going to be taking things that we need as well. We need to trust the sources of information that give us instructions about how to do things and reassurances that everything's going to be okay. But again, what the COVID-19 situation is beginning to expose is that where people are at risk from this virus, our capacity to provide solutions is to some extent dependent on equality. So, for example, if we need to quarantine, it's harder for people who don't have access to money, who are poor, it's harder for them to quarantine than it is for middle-class people who have access to money. So what's the solution? Well, we need to make society more equal.
How do you think it's going to pan out? Because as in this country, the number of cases in England is going up, not exponentially, but it's jumping every day. Do you think there's going to be, I won't use the word again, but do you think people are becoming more fearful?
I think everybody's becoming more fearful, and I think that's where the media has its primary responsibility to provide reassurance and to help manage the expectations that people have about the virus. Let's bear in mind that a very, very small percentage of people run into difficulties with this virus, however many people that get it, that there needs to be a sense of perspective here on the impact of this disease.
I think a figure that I heard that hasn't been mentioned since the early days was that 650,000 people die a year of the common flu in the world. You know, and that gives it, oddly, that gives it a perspective. I know it's a bit an odd way of looking at it, but it does, because compared to that, the coronavirus is in the halfpenny place.
Yeah, I saw another statistic, a really quite shocking and horrific statistic, also quoted, that somewhere in the region of 40,000 people a day die from TB. So again, you know, let's keep a perspective on what we're dealing with here. These kinds of emergencies are going to become more and more of an issue going forward.
Professor Clifford Stott from the Faculty of Natural Sciences at Keele University in Staffordshire, thanks so much for talking to us today. Thank you.